Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikail Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikail is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikail Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Everyone get tea? Is it legit? It's good? It's good? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And just if you could pass the tea over, the sisters didn't get it yet, I don't think. Allahu Akbar. You got? Okay, good. All right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وألف بين قلوبهم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who causes there to be bonds between the hearts of people. And regardless of how much you spend, you can never create bonds between the hearts of people. But rather it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that creates bonds. We often think that money can be something which we can join hearts with, but in reality there's other things that are far more important, leave far deeper impression on our brothers and sisters than spending money. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in this particular verse. Tonight we're going to continue after our short spring break. Alhamdulillah, everyone's back. Hope you guys did well in exams and things like that, inshallah. Prepare for the real exam, inshallah. Yawm al-Qiyamah, that's the real exam. Inshallah, you know the answers already. Just gotta show up and be ready. That's it. So anyways, inshallah, we're going to continue. For those who's this their first class, we're doing a book called Adab al-Suhbah, The Etiquettes of Companionship, or Ukhuwah, The Etiquettes of Brotherhood and Friendship. And in this book, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdurrahman, it's a little hot, maybe. Oh, just do me a favor. Can you just turn that fan on? Jazakallah khair. So sorry, man. You can open it, but more important, just this, Abdurrahman. Just turn this on. I mean, I'm hot. I don't know about you guys. Yeah, that's cool for me. Jazakallah khair. All right. So, in this book, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes over 70-some-odd etiquettes of brotherhood. And what we've been doing for the last seven classes is going through each of these etiquettes and trying to understand them, and most importantly, discover how to apply those into the our communities and our friendships, and to really test ourselves if we are holding up to those standards of excellence that were set by the Sahaba and the companions and other people. So tonight we're going to continue. What number are we on? 28? Inshallah. So 28th. The 28th right, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يَذُبَّ عَنْ عِرْضِهِ لَكِنْ مَعَنِيَةِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَسِيَاسَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ مَنْ رَدَّ عَنْ عِرْضِ أَخِيهِ رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The thing we take the most time to beautify and to protect in this world is our face. Anything happens, the first thing we see ourselves doing is we instinctively cover our face. Instinctively, that's the first thing we go to cover. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains that whoever does this certain act, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the fire from their face on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect their own faces from the fire on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And what is that action? He says, مَنْ ذَبَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِيهِ مَنْ رَدَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِيهِ. Whoever protects the name and honor of their brother or sister, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them, their face, that thing we work so hard to protect and beautify and make sure it looks so fine. Right? That thing we focus on so much. Subhanallah, if you read the hadith and different things that talk about that, one time Rasulullah was talking about controlling your tongue. And one sahabi, he was like, what? Are we going to go to hell for what we say? And the Prophet was like, a person will be dragged on their nose through the fire because of a word that they said. Meaning face down. Face down. So it just that concept of the face is being something we want to protect all the time. Rasulullah ﷺ gave us a beautiful way for protecting our face. And what is that way? ذَبَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِي. What does that mean? Protect the name and honor. You know ذَبَّ? You know, what's a ذُبَاب? A fly. You know why they call it ذُبَاب? كُلَّمَا ذَبَّ أَبَ. ذُبَاب. So what does ذَبَّ mean? When you not, you go like this, right? And what's أَبَ mean? To return. So كُلَّمَا ذَبَّ أَبَ. That's what a fly does. So ذُبَاب. Right? ذَبَّ أَبَ. It took a while. Finally someone was like, oh, I get it. It's like, no one said that yet. Okay, cool. So ذُبَاب, right? Got it, right? But listen. So the concept is the one who ذَبَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِي. The one who, when the flies are on the name and the honor of their friend, the flies of people I'm talking about now, the hater flies, the flies that always find something evil in people, when they jump on the name or honor of their person, they ذَبَّ. Yo, chill out, chill out. Let's not talk about him right now. He's not here. She's not here to protect herself. So ذَبَّ عَنْ. So if you look at the maqasid al-sharia, maqasid means the goals and the higher intent of the sharia. There are about 5 maqasid al-sharia, according to the popular opinion. 5 goals of the entire deen. Meaning, if you took all the rulings of Islam, there's 5 things it comes to actually protect. Those things are hifdul deen, protection of religion, hifdul hayat, protection of life, hifdul mal, protection of wealth, hifdul nasl, protection of your own family lineage and your name. And number 5, hifdul aqal is one. Some also say another one is the irdh, the honor of a person. The 6th one, the honor of a person. So Imam Sha'rani, he says that the right that we have on each other is to protect the person's honor when people are waqa'a fi irdihi. And waqa'a fi irdihi just means when they start to attack the name and the credibility or the name of that person, any person, they protect them from that. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ الصَّادِقِ فِي أَخُوَّ أَخِيهِ أَنْ يُقَبِلَ عِلَلَهُ وَيُسَدِدَ خِلَلَهُ. The sign of a true brother is that you accept their slip-ups and you fill in the gaps for them. Fill in the gaps means, like, no one's perfect. So you know there's going to be spots where people could just find fault. You fill that in for them. You cover that up for them. So this is number 28, that ذَبَّ عَنْ إِرْضِ أَخِيهِ. فَهَمْتُمْ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. طيب. Let's go to the next one. The next one is something I really wanted to focus for the majority of today's class, because it's a topic that is rarely discussed in our halaqat in Islamic circles. This is a topic that is spoke about in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُونَ. Speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar of Quraysh, they wanted him to do something called mudahina. Mudahina is a word. I'm going to break down this word for the rest of halaqa, basically. And I don't know a proper English word for this. But maybe by the end of halaqa, you guys could come up with something that will, you know, kind of pinpoint exactly what mudahina is. So Imam Sha'rani, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ. Number 29. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَلَّا يُدَاهِنَهُ. The one right of another brother on another brother is that أَلَّا يُدَاهِنَ. He does not do mudahina with him or her. Now you're going to say, well, what is mudahina? Well, true brotherhood
is based on smoothing out the rough spots in the other person, not ignoring them. True brotherhood is based on, like through friction. You know, has anyone ever been in carpentry class? Yeah, we had to take that. You ever had to make something in carpentry? No one? They give you the sandpaper, and then the tech teacher is like, no, it's not smooth yet. And you go back and you just do it, and he's like, no, it's not smooth yet. You know what I'm talking about, really? SubhanAllah, I thought I was the only one. Right? Because like I went back like 20 times. And he's like, I'm like, it's smooth. He's like, no, it's not smooth yet. So you go back with the friction, the sandpaper, and you go back and rub it out, right? So we have this concept now, which is accept me as I am, right? Accept me as I am. Now, this is true from one point, and it's good. But we need to understand mudahina and understand what it means to accept the person as they are and how we need to smooth out the rough spots, so to speak. Ad-deenu nasiha. Remember this hadith, okay? Deen is nasiha. Nasiha is normally translated as two things. To give advice, number one. And number two, to be a well-wisher. Remember that. Umar bin Khattab, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the scholars used to say, Al-ikhwan bi khair ma tanaqashu, fa'idha stalahu halaku. That people will always be good. Will always be good. Our brotherhood will always be good as long as tanaqashu. We use the sandpaper and we smooth out those rough spots. But he says, وَإِذَا اصْطَلَحُوا, when they agree. اصْطَلَحُوا means to... Agree, disagree? No, it means agree to just accept. اصْطَلَحُوا, like, however it is, it's all good. Just go with it, exactly. He says, when they get to that point, halaku. The best example I could give for this is like, before I go into the Quranic example, is like playing football or basketball on a team. Like, if one of your players has a problem fumbling the ball, like, everyone know football, right? I mean, I want to look there and they'd be like, why are you looking at us? Like, we don't watch football. But everybody know football, right? Okay, so if somebody fumbles the ball, you don't just go like, yo, you cool, it's good, bro, you all right. You're like, no. Yo, you're gonna fix this. If you want to stay on the team, we're going to fix this problem. You can't roll with us fumbling the ball, throwing picks. Oh, you good. You good. It's not going to happen. What we're going to do is we're going to iron that out as a team. And the coach is going to make all of us run and do whatever is necessary to iron out those problems, right? That is mudahina is the exact opposite. Let's look at the verse. Allah says in the Quran, "Waddu law tudhinu fayudhinun." They want you to do mudahina so they can do mudahina with you. Now, let's talk about who this is talking to. This is talking to the Prophet ﷺ. The Kufar of Quraysh were like, yo, listen, your religion is getting hype. People like it. Cool. But you are cursing at our idols. You're messing up business for us. You're calling us out. So how about this? We'll worship your Allah and Rahman for like 6 months. And then, you know, next 6 months will be our turn. So, wadu lo tudihin for you dihinun. They want you to do mudahina so they could do mudahina too. And the mudahina is simply this. Let me just break down mudahina. Mudahina is when you ignore the faults and you are kind and gentle with people because you don't care about rectifying the problem at all. You just want to have a good friendship with each other. You just want to get along together. So I'm not going to say nothing about you, and you're not going to say nothing about me. This is mudahina. Even if I'm in the dead wrong, I'm not going to say anything. And mudahina, all right, mudahina comes from a root word, duhun. What's duhun? Like oil. And you know how you say to butter somebody up? You know, butter someone up? Like keep them happy. We'll get what we want out of them. Butter them up. Mudahina, same concept. I don't want to rough things. I don't want to ruffle your feathers. So I'm just going to keep you oiled up, buttered up with flattery, make you feel good, all this. And I'm not going to, I'm going to accept you how you are. You accept me how I am. and we'll roll good like this. But the team won't win. Team won't win like that. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Kufar Quraysh, they were ready for Mudahina. They were ready to say, all right, we'll accept you, do that. You accept us. We live happily ever after. We keep making money. You keep passing on your religion. But you're not saying anything against us. You guys understand this concept of Mudahina a bit? It's a little bit more clear? Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, he refused. He refused. I'm not going to ignore your idolatry. I'm going to call it out. I'm going to speak up against this. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to do. The issue is we live in a very pluralistic society, obviously. And the concept is that in this age of ultra-pluralism, that we can't coexist if we have this kind of rigidness and this if we hold on so tightly to our view of right and wrong. But there's a fallacy there, and it leads to what many philosophers call the age of plasticity. The age of plasticity. Plasticity means nothing has form or solidity anymore. Nothing has meaning anymore. You're right, I'm right, we're all right. Let's go, everything's cool. As long as we could just get along with one another. So this concept of mudahina is extremely dangerous. And why is it dangerous? Because you have to separate mudahina from another word, which is mudarat. Let me give you an example of mudarat. So here's the second word you have to take notes on, which is mudarat. Mudarat and mudahina look the exact same, but the intention is different. I'll give you an example. There's examples of where there was someone who was doing something wrong in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, right? And when the Prophet ﷺ met him, he would be extremely cordial with him. He would be extremely cordial and nice and speaking flattery things about them, with the intention of slowly rectifying that person's character, with slowly fixing the things that are going wrong inside of that person. That's mudarat, and that's praiseworthy, that's beautiful, right? So the intention in that is that I'm not going to call out this Abe, I'm not going to say nothing, but I'm slowly working to better this thing. My good akhlaq with you is to better something in the long run. The mudahin is different. The mudahin doesn't care at all about rectification of the problem. I'm just going to be cordial with you to get some benefit out of you, some temporary benefit, whether it be our friendship, whether it be wealth, whether it be whatever it may be. I'm not going to call out your apes. You don't call out my faults so that we can get along happily ever after. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us this concept of mudarat, not mudahina. So when we talk about... there's one verse I wanted to refer to before we go a little deeper. There's a verse that says, "Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'dhum li ba'dhin adu illa al-muttaqin." On the day of judgment, close friends will be enemies of one another, except muttaqin. Except muttaqin. Al-akhilla. Like close friends will be enemies. The only reason they would be enemies of one another is because of mudahina, which is, you did not really care about me and really want to better me, that wasn't your concern. That wasn't what you really wanted. So I let you do what you wanted, you let me do what I wanted. I knew what you were doing was wrong, but you know what? It's all good. You knew what I was doing was wrong, but you know what? I'm going to turn a blind eye. That's mudahina. Now, again, the real brotherhood that Imam Sha'rani is saying is that for me and you, if you see something wrong, Malik, you see something wrong, you got to call me out, bro. But now we're going to talk about how to call out too. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Because you can't just call out all things. You got to know what to call out, how to call out, should you call out, all of that stuff. But the point is, if you want me in Jannah, Malik, right? You're not going to just keep letting me slide on everything. Right? MashaAllah, Assalamualaikum. You're not going to just keep letting me slide. Why? Because you understand that these things are extremely detrimental for me. So you correct them. But, how to correct them? That's the issue. So this is the subtle difference between mudahina and this is the subtle. On the outward, brothers and sisters, mudahina and mudarat look exactly the same. But it's the intention that's different. Okay? So how do we balance this? So here's the deal. The idea is this. Imam Sha'rani right here, he says, الفرق بين المداهنة والمدارات ما أردت به صلاة الأخي والمداهنة ما قصدت به شيئا من الحظوظ النفسانية. The one who does mudarat, meaning I'm being very cordial with you. I know you're doing wrong, right? But I'm not saying nothing. That's mudarat. I'm being very cordial. Why? I'm going to build a relationship with you and slowly rectify that thing. That's mudarat. Mudahina is like, I'm trying to get something from you right now. So the solution is what? The concept of nasiha, ad-dinun nasiha. What does this nasiha mean? Sister Layla, what's this nasiha? Have you heard this word? I taught it to you before. What is nasiha?
Good advice.
Good advice is one of them. Anyone else know another translation for nasiha? Sincerity. What about well-wishing? Have anyone ever heard this concept of intending well for someone? Ad-dinun nasiha. So here's the deal. The person that really applies this concept of nasiha inside themselves, they have to combine two realities inside. Please pay attention to this. To have true nasiha, you have to have two qualities. Number one is to be a well-wisher for people or someone. Now, what does that mean? You want good for someone, right? So, like, imagine this. Your father is, na'udhu billah, an alcoholic, right? You want good for him, right? So, how do you go about correcting that? First and foremost, you're a well-wisher, which is because he's your father, because he played with you when you were a little kid, wrestled with you, played ball with you, whatever he did. Because of that, you have this deep desire to see him correct it. That's the first pillar of nasiha. Now there's another pillar. And that is to be a good advisor. Now, let me explain what I mean by advisor. The advisor keeps the standard of excellence to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Feel me out on this. You could be a well-wisher and not get me closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you just want what's, okay, I'm just a well-wisher for you. And you could be an advisor. You get what I'm saying? You see how people split both ways? You could be given advice. Yo, akhi, stop. Yo, that's haram, akhi. Haram police. We're going to talk about haram police today. Because, no, for real. The haram police is a term that's used much amongst the millennials. Like, people that call out haram all the time. But here's the deal. The person doing nasiha, that's just doing advising and calling out haram, the problem there is he may or she may be missing the quality of well-wishing. You ever been working with someone for a long time and you finally get them to a point and then somebody step up and just say something to throw everything all off and they're just throwing the haq down. They're just throwing the truth down. Anyone ever had experience with this? Faduma, you said you had experience. Anyone else had experience with this? You've been working with someone. Finally, you get to this level, right? You in your mind, like, I'm taking this person close to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's my goal. But I love him. It's like my father. So I'm taking my time. I'm taking baby steps. I know what I'm looking at. I know what I'm not. I'm turning a blind eye to. Right? And then all of a sudden somebody coming and they're like, yo, akhi. Yo, sister. That's haram. You're reading Quran wrong. I've been reading Quran wrong for like 2 years. I shouldn't even read no more. They call you up crying. I'm done. Where you go? You ain't coming to the masjid in a while. Yeah, man, I'm done, man. Why? Oh, nothing. You dig deep enough, you find out somebody had to be haram police for a moment. Now, I'm down for haram police. We need them. But they need to be taught. They need to go through the academy. Not everybody is a cop. They need to go through the academy. No joke. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to go through some of the conditions of the academy, inshallah ta'ala. But the first thing, so that we don't end up in mudahina, is this. That's why I'm saying this accept me as I am. See, this accept me as I am can be very problematic. Because if you accept, bro, if I fumble, you don't accept me how I am. You know what I'm saying? The team will be like, yo, coach, you going to drop him or not? Seriously. No one's going to accept the QB throwing picks and just say, accept me how I am. We're going to work to better that thing out. Now, we're not just going to be rough on him. Don't drop the ball again. You're a loser. We're going to work on it. We're going to do running drills. Something. I don't know. Right? Coach had ways of correcting that. Right? We're going to work on it. So, again, what are the two aspects? Munir, what are the two aspects of nasiha? Okay, and what is who's an extremist well-wisher? Extremist. I indicated to this. I didn't say it exactly. An extremist well-wisher is the one who would lose sight of bringing you back to that standard. That's that accept me as I am. That's the furthest extent to that side. But the other extreme, what's the other side of nasiha? What's the other side of nasiha? Huh? Which is advising, right? But what's the extremist advisor? The one who loses sight of the ultimate objective, which is rectification. You know what I'm saying? Do you get what I mean by that? If you lose sight of the ultimate objective, when you tell someone something's haram, what is your true intent? Well, what should your true intent be? Well, no, hold on. You said correct the action. What do you mean? So be a little more specific. Okay. Someone else? What is your real intention? Sister Alia? The point is acceptance. Like, you could just say it and be like, yeah, I did my job. You're going to hell now. No, seriously, some people, that's how they come across. I told them. Right? I told them. But you didn't really, like, if it was your father, is that the way you would have did it? If it was your mother, is that the way you would have corrected that wrong? You might have waited, like, 6 months before you told mama, like, hey, mama, yo, I think, you know, interest is haram. You know, like, slowly, like, I don't know. I'm just giving an example of when you love the person, you're very strategic about change. That's when you love the person, you're very strategic about change. When you don't care about person, you just be like, haram, haram, accept it or leave it. All right, you left Islam. You're bad, right? Okay, so, again, the concept here is, now this brings us to this concept of the Academy of Haram Police, right? Which is a concept which is in the Quran over and over. And what's it called? Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. I mean, if you haven't heard a khutbah about nahi anil munkar, Amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, I don't know where you've been. So what is it? Amr bil ma'ruf? Enjoining what's right. And forbidding what's wrong. Don't get it twisted. This is a right of every believer. See a wrong, correct it. See good or want good, enjoin good. However, there's a few things that need to be understood about this concept of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar. Everything I'm giving you right now is directly from Ihya Ulum al-Din by Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. First things first, there's three things we look at. It's going to get a little technical, inshallah. That's all good. That's how we learn, right? All right, I'm right? Okay, so three things. The one correcting, the action being corrected, and the one being corrected. Three things we're going to look at here. The one doing the correcting, conditions for that person. The action that they're actually correcting, conditions for that action. And the person that they're correcting, the conditions for that person. These are the three things we're going to discuss right now. So I'm going to give you the conditions. When is it like wajib, necessary to correct a wrong? First thing first, we have to look at the person doing the correcting. And there are five conditions that I'm going to give you regarding the person doing the correcting. Number one, the person is only obliged to be like a haram police. Like this is, you have to. If number one, the person is legally responsible. We call it mukallif. Mukallif just means like they're adult. They are they're adults basically. They're not a little kid or something like that. It's called mukallif. They're responsible, right? Yeah. So right now we're talking about conditions upon the person correcting right now. Yes, all these conditions right now are the one that is doing an action. If these conditions are found, it's wajib to correct something. Everyone with me or not? Okay, cool. Yes. Sorry, mukallif. Like they are legally responsible. Simply put, it's not a child. So it's like a child doesn't have to see a wrong and have to correct it, because in Islam, a child is not mukallif. You get what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that? Okay, cool. All right, number two, Muslim. Obviously, Allah's rule is only obliged upon a Muslim. So it's only wajib upon a Muslim. That's number two. Number three, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, so number three is adala, or uprightness. Uprightness. Let me explain this one, though. This is very interesting. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ Allah says in the Quran, do you tell people to do good and forget your own self? What's the verse in Surah Saf? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقَّةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Why do you say what you don't do? The worst thing in the sight of Allah is that you say what you don't do. So some people feel like this means if you're doing some sin, then you don't have the obligation to correct something wrong. And that's wrong. Straight up. If I'm addicted to alcohol, na'udhu billah, and you about to kill somebody, you can't look at me and be like, yo, you an alcoholic? What you talking about? No. There's an obligation. And many of us, we say this. Have you ever heard someone, nah, man, I'm not pious enough for that, man. What you mean? You're confusing two different things right there. Your piety and the obligation to correct the wrong is two different things. Don't flip it. Yes?
There's also the other side of it, when, like you're trying to correct something.
Yeah, exactly. The other side, I'm going to get there. The other side is when you get into pious mode, as they say. And all of a sudden, now you start flexing like, yo, we shouldn't be doing that. They're like, oh, he just came back from Halakha. That's what they say. And then now you got to be like, yeah. Or they say, how you going to say this when you do that? That's the thing. So there's two different things. My action that I'm doing wrong does not take away from me the obligation. Please hear me out. Yes, my wife is interjecting. Yes, sister. Can I finish my thought, though? Like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. MashaAllah, hikmah, MashaAllah. Now, yo, you're right, though. That's haq, no joke. So here's the deal. The problem with this person, though, is something serious, which is, ترك الأهم للمهم. ترك الأهم للمهم. What do I mean by that? الأهم is fixing yourself. مهم is to correct the wrong that's done in front of you. So there's two words. أهم meaning more important, and مهم means important. More important, أهم. So this person who is involved in all types of haram and now is on my case, there is a problem there. Don't get me wrong. Which is ترك الأهم lil muhim, leaving what's more important. And it's, yo, listen, you can't rectify people truly if you yourself aren't rectified. You can't guide people if you're not guided. And Imam Ghazali goes, the shadow can't be straight if the tree is bent. The shadow won't be straight, subhanAllah. The shadow won't be straight if the tree is bent. So this is an admonishment to me and you that, wait, our first concern should be like, hold on, let me get myself right first. Now, does that mean when I see wrong done that I got to cop out from correcting wrongs being done? Two different things. Understood what I mean by that? You with me, Alia? Cool?
Yeah, no, it's real.
Okay, so it's two separate things here. Two separate things here, okay? So here's the deal, though. Imam Ghazali, rahimullah, he goes, listen, the problem is, if you're an open sinner, then your umr, your speech about a wrong action, is not going to have benefit on the people. But you physically stopping it will still have an action. Let me give you an example. Someone has a bottle of alcohol, Muslim brother, family member, and you smack it out on the ground. You're a fasiq. But you just smacked it out. Did you stop an action that was haram?
Yeah.
Yep. But you told him, don't drink. He's still going to do it. He's not listening to you. What he's saying is the fasik, please pay attention. The fasik has two ways to stop an action. And I'm going to go in more detail. One is his speech. It's not going to do anything. Because people know you. They should accept, don't get me wrong. They should accept advice no matter where it comes from. But it probably won't have an effect on people, right? Like we just said, like, look what you do. But can he physically stop some actions? Exactly. Feel me? Yes?
It's actually more effective than snatch out his hand
and
tell him.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like even the drunk guy going out to drink. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. If someone smoking in front of you, don't smoke.
It's like more of a disc, but it's stronger in terms of.
Yes, you can stop it. We'll talk about the levels of stopping things. Okay. So that was number three. We're talking about conditions. Please stick with me. We're talking about conditions for the one who's correcting the action. If these conditions are found, it's wajib for that person to correct this wrong. Number four. Okay. The person has to have the authority, given the authority to correct the wrong. You need a badge. Haram police need badges. Let me see your badge. Let me explain this in more detail, though. We good? Everyone chill? All right, it's going to be five categories here. Hear me out.
For a badge?
For the badge. The authority. The things you need a badge. No, Faduma. The things that you need a badge, or when it comes to correcting, there's three ways of correcting. One of which you need a badge to do. The other four is fair game. Let me explain. The first way of correcting is ta'arif, to call out the wrong. Ta'arif. Ta'arif literally means define. That's the first thing. So you don't need a badge to call out wrong. And I want to stop here for a moment. Some of the biggest mujahida that scholars can do today is just ta'arif. Just call it out. Like just call it out straight up. And many people don't call stuff out. Don't call it out. Number two, second level, speaking gently regarding that issue. Baba, I don't think we should do that. I don't think that's cool. Gently. Third level, harsh speech. Yo, that's haram, yo. Fear Allah. Harsh speech. Number four, forcefully knocking the thing out of their hand. Knock the bottle on the ground. Forcefully. Number four. And number five, I'm going to hit you. No, for real. Like, I'm going to use force. I'm going to fight you. Something like that. Number five ain't allowed except from a hukuma perspective. Like, it's as a government. Like, there's no vigilantism in Islam. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no vigilantism. You guys hear what I'm saying? We can't just like, from now on, Abdurrahman walks around and he's like, you know, with a whip on his shoulder. What's up? No. That's with hukuma, right? So Imam Ghazali explains that, listen, for everyone, the first four levels are fair game. But for the fifth level, that's off limits. That's off limits. And then he says for a son to a parent, number one, two and four only. So you ain't taking notes. You're like,
okay, I'm gonna listen back on the video.
Just messing around. All right, number one is a ta'arif. This is a son to a father. Baba, I think that's called riba. Ta'arif. Number two, speaking gently. Number four, literally smack the bottle out the hand. Son can do that. Can't hit. No, obviously. Right? Obviously. Huh? Nah, no harsh speech. Number three was, I didn't say three. One, two, four. That's it. One, two, four. That's it. With the parents. Okay. Next thing. Number five. Condition for the, number five condition for who? For the corrector. This is important. Ability to actually change it. There's going to be four situations here, okay? So this means, do you actually have, will your words actually do something? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by this? The fifth condition in the person, if they have this condition, they have to change the wrong, is about ability. Meaning, will your words and actions actually cause the change? So first situation, Okay, the person knows that my words or actions will correct the wrong. Like if I speak up, I know this sister will listen to me. Simple, it's wajib, done. You got to correct it. Simple, that's common sense, all right? Number two, they know their words will have no benefit, and if they speak up, there's going to be some physical repercussions to that. Like they're going to get hurt, something's going to happen. You know what I mean by this or no? Like if they speak up, there'll be physical repercussions. Okay, the best example I could think about this is, you know, this bystander effect. You know what I'm saying? Like you speak up to a wrong, and are they going to stop right there? Well, if you're in Texas and you got open carry, they might. You like stop beating her up. They're like, all right, cool, I'm done. Wajib, right there. Now you ain't holding. But if you speak up as a gang of them, they ain't going to listen to you. And you might get beat up in the process. So what is it? It's not wajib anymore. I didn't say you don't have to, you shouldn't do it. I said it's not compulsory on you. Sister Layla, you get what I mean?
Yeah, because some people can take it.
There you go. And what was the condition? Number two was you know your words won't have an effect. You can't stop it. And there's a physical repercussion to that. Number three, the words will be of no benefit or action, no benefit. You can't stop it, but there's no physical harm either. You can think of a situation where, you know, I can speak up, I can say something, I can do, but it's not going to stop it. And nothing's going to happen to me for speaking up. Like, no one's going to, I can speak up, it's a free country. You know, I'll give an example, Umar Suleiman, like, they got arrested in D.C., right? There was no physical harm. Like, they weren't getting beat down. It wasn't like, you know, civil rights and when they were, like, fighting for civil rights and things like that. This was just about, they were going to get arrested. It's a big deal still. Arrested. It's not an easy thing to go through, obviously. I'm not lightening that. But he's speaking up to a wrong, right? Will his words do anything? Maybe not. Right? Maybe not. But there's no physical harm. So the wujub is not there. It's still mustahab. That action he did was still mustahab. What does mustahab mean, guys? Like desirable, good to do. You with me? And the fourth action, he knows that he can stop the wrong or she can stop the wrong, but they'll be harmed for sure if they stop it. Like, you know, I can get in there. I'm strong enough. This guy is beating her up. I know I can stop it, but I'm going to get in a fight and thing. I can stop him from hurting her, but I'm going to get in a fight. What do you think the answer is? Huh? Think about what Sister Layla says. She's like, different people have different capacities. What do you think the Sharia says? It's not wajib. It's mustahab for sure. You know you can stop it, but you're going to get a black eye in the process. It's mustahab. No bystander. That's the thing. People have different capacities. Some people have a weak heart. Some people have more courage than others, right? So the Sharia won't force you. You know what I'm saying? Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, so I would say we have to encourage mustahab, that courage, speak up, stand up. But at the same time, like, you can't impose on certain people. Like, remember the weakest of us too. There's a balance here. We have to encourage, like, those with strength. Yo, be courageous. What's wrong with you? Like, have some honor. Stand up. Sacrifice. But you can't say that to everyone. You can't enforce that on everyone. You know what I'm saying? So wujub is different. Like, wajib means, yo, I got to do it. Everybody. That means the oldest of us and the youngest from amongst the adults would have to do it. Everyone. Mustahab is like, all right, you got the strength? All right, let's go out. Let's do it. Who's with me? And look, our scholars are setting example. Look at Umar Suleiman. Look at Linda Sources. Look at them. They're like, yo, we're getting locked up. We don't care. We're speaking up for this wrong. Bam. That's an example. That was clearly mustahab. Clearly mustahab. If it was wajib, I'd have been there too. Was it? Nah, if I was in D.C., inshallah, if I got the memo, I would have been there, inshallah, yo.
I can't get more on my record, though. That was just a joke. My record's clean. Just a joke. Okay. All right, a few more questions. Yes, let me go to this side and then come back. Sister Alia. In his life, you mean?
Right.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So it's not
necessary. Is it done? The T's done? Okay, it's all good. Yeah, no, a kid. I'm a bit dubbed, for sure. Sister Mesa, you had a question. Adala, yeah. So what we came to the conclusion was, exactly, good point. So some people, the question was, the third condition was that you were upright. But at the end of that discussion, what did we say? That regardless of your uprightness, you have a wujub on you. So some people say that there is this condition because of these verses, atamuruna an-nasa bil-birri wa tansawna anfusakum, and all of these verses. But other scholars are like, no, they're two separate things. Regardless of your uprightness, you have to correct the wrong that you see happening. So adala is not a condition. In other words. That's the thing. There's a, yes, exactly. You still should. Yep, exactly. Next thing. This is very important. It's the most important thing for the Haram Police Academy is the actions about which can be corrected or not. The actions about which can be corrected or not. First, there's four conditions here. Number one, I'm going to say, is that the action is happening openly. If the action is not happening openly, there's no wujub on you. You don't got to crack open people's doors, spy on, and say, I got to correct the wrong. What's going on up in here? You know, I heard something was going to go down here. I'm here. Oh, what do you need? Your keys? And you got, nah, he's got to stay for the whole halakha. Yeah. Now go ahead, Malik. It's all good, man. Yes. So number one, really quick, before we ask, number one was what? The action is happening openly. One time, Umar bin Khattab, during his khilafah, he thought something was going on inside somebody's... Okay, sorry. Yeah, he thought something was going wrong inside of somewhere, so he snuck in. And the person was doing something wrong, but the person was like, you caught me doing one wrong thing, I'm going to highlight three wrong things you just did. And Umar bin Khattab took the advice and walked away. He's like, I'm not even going to bring this up. You do Toba, I'm doing Toba too. Seriously, I'm paraphrasing the incident for our time, but the point was he thought something was going on, so he snuck inside. And he caught the dude doing whatever it was. And the dude was like, yeah, I'm doing this, but you just did three things wrong. Right? So the action, if it's done openly, that is something that is wajib to correct. That's the first of four. Before we go to the next ones, yes?
Five.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. That's beautiful. What's your name? Ismail. Brother Ismail is saying, we talked about physical pain, a black eye, you know, someone hitting you. But, I mean, what about the emotional stress of going through that incident? Some people won't have the mental stability to handle that. So I would assume, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but I would assume that emotional and mental stress is just as detrimental as the physical, for sure. For sure. Yeah, same thing. That, yo, I can do this, but it's gonna be too hard on me. Wallahu a'lam. Like give me an example.
Somebody's getting bullied, for example. You said, you know, you can stop it, but you're gonna be the one being bullied, for example.
I'm just thinking, nah, man. I feel like that's like we gotta step up, yo. See, my mustahab side is like, nah, man, we gotta step up for bullies. But the side of like, can you take it? Again, that comes back to that wajib whole aspect, Ismail. We can never say it's wajib.
Like in the bully situation, can you stop it or you can't stop it?
There's five categories.
That's what I'm saying. It all matters. That's what I'm saying. It all matters, right? If it's six people jumping one dude and you just jumping in, it's like, I'm just going to be six people jumping two dudes. Why don't I just call the cops, right? No, all jokes aside, like, you got to analyze correctly. But if it's one dude bullying another dude and you just sitting there like we see on YouTube, the little bystander effect where you could clearly say something, that's a completely different situation. I don't... Yes.
You end up being bullied yourself later on. So let's say you're at school, and it's more of like emotional or mental bullying rather than physical bullying.
Yeah.
So if you step in to stand up for that person,
yes.
And you end up being bullied.
Yes. And now you have to deal with that either physical or emotional bullying for the rest of thing now. I think it goes straight back to the categories. Like, can you actually change it? Is there going to be some harm done to yourself? وَلَا تُلْكُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ What is... وَلَا... بأنفسكم إلى تهلكة. What's the verse? ولا تلقوا بأنفسكم إلى تهلكة. Like the verse says, don't destroy yourselves. You can't throw yourself into destruction. So you have to preserve yourself as well. Can we go forward? Yes. That was the whole point. Exactly. That's why we're saying mustahab, guys. We're not saying we should all be chumps and just watch stuff happen. No. It's about your level and ability to take stuff. Okay? Like, be like Ibn Miller, yo. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what's up.
Or knowing the approach, then the acknowledging, taking that person to the side and knowing that, letting them, reassuring them that they have a support in you.
So after or while?
I mean, if it's not physical, I mean, I'm assuming, but if it's someone who just can't, I mean, I'm more of the person that's just like, what are you doing? Just trying to jump in.
Jump in, exactly. But most of us, exactly. Then at least after cover up, yes, comfort.
Person, like, knowing that there is someone that cares and someone that exists that's on their side and maybe ways to handle the situation instead of doing the whole, I'm
going to
be the savior at night.
Wallahu alam. Okay, number one. So we're, yes. وَلَا تُلْكُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ جَزَاكَ خَيْرٌ. Okay, next we're talking, as we started now, what actions are necessary to correct. The first one is something that's happening in open, not hidden. Number two, the action which is presently taking place. It is not wajib upon you to correct something that happened yesterday, and it's not wajib upon you unless you know for sure about an action that's taking place in the future. All right? Happened yesterday, it's not wajib. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean you're not going to talk to your boy. That doesn't mean you're not going to say something. But it's talking about, like, do I have to? Right? It's about going through the academy, right? Well, you have to stand up and speak up about. The action is happening right now. Okay? Simple. Number three. It has to be a munkir. A munkir, not a ma'siyah. So what is ma'siyah? Sin. What is munkir?
Like sinning against someone else?
It's broader than ma'siyah. It's like disliked or wrong. So there are certain things that can be disliked but not sin. So even those things would be about amongst the things that we have to correct as well. Okay? Munkar. Now, last but not least, and most important, and this is why half the people shouldn't have a badge, is the topic or issue can't be something mukhtalifi. There's a difference of opinion about it in the deen. The topic which you're correcting cannot be something about which there's a valid difference of opinion about in the deen. Very important. Very important. I'm going to say this one more time. A valid difference of opinion that this person is following, you can't jump in and be like, yo, can't do that. It's like, who is you? I'm following a whole different method. Now, here's the deal. Hold on. Let me, Mesa, hold your thought for a second. When it comes to this mukhtalifi, the problem is most people don't even understand this concept of madhahib and following a madhab and, you know, how something could be right for him and wrong for me. Most of us don't even understand that, right? And that's why, inshallah, you need to come to Qalam Institute. Registration. Yo, registration is now open for the fall semester. No, all jokes aside, many of us don't even realize that, yeah, you know, Imam Malik may, from Quran and Sunnah. Please don't go back, oh, wait, Quran, what does Quran and Sunnah say? It's all from Quran and Sunnah, and there's difference of opinion about valid things. So Imam, I'll give you an example. It's not a good example, but it's an example nonetheless. You know, the Hanafis might say that it's permissible to get married without a wali, right? And everybody else goes, nah, man, that's wrong. You can't do that. Now, if a Hanafi does that, right, and within the realms of what is acceptable on what they're following, haram police can't jump in and say, yo, what are you doing? Right? So so here's the problem why most people shouldn't have a badge. They're not knowledgeable enough about the deen to know that is this person actually doing something which there is a valid difference of opinion on in the first place. If you learned one picture, one quarter of the deen, and I do something, you know what I'm going to say to you? It's in those other three quarters you didn't learn yet. You only learned one quarter of the deen, and you think it's haram. Well, guess what? There's three other quarters. And it's said about Imam Ghazali, it's narrated that قَلَّمَا, very seldom did he see someone doing something wrong because of the vastness of his knowledge. Imam Ghazali, I'm going to say that again. Very seldom did he see someone doing something wrong because of the vastness of his knowledge. And the ones with no knowledge, everything's wrong. So the main reason why most people can't get through the academy to get the badge of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi and Munkar is because they don't understand the deen broad enoughly. They don't understand the deen on a broad scale. They understand it from their limited way that they learned it. Okay? So those are the conditions for... What time is it right now? Oh, subhanAllah. Okay. Yes. So I'm going to... Inshallah, those are the final conditions for the things that are wrong. I'm going to answer some questions and then we'll wrap it up and pray salat today, inshallah. Yes, Mesa. Yes, exactly. So let me be practical on this one. Yes. Oh no, why you have to go there? No. So even the in that example, even the Hanafis would say, like, that's not good to do. So perhaps that's not even a good example, right? Because even the Hanafis themselves, their scholars would say that. Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about right now, huh? Asr prayer. Thank you. Simple. Thank you. Asr prayer. Woo. Mesa. Asr prayer. Not all this wali. Nikabila wali. Like, why I have to go to the most controversial issue there is? Man. Okay. Asr prayer. You see this dude praying or praying sunnahs after Fajr. You ever see someone stand up and pray sunnahs after Fajr? Well, according to the Hanafis, you can't do it. No, can't do it. Other madahib, like, no, you miss them, pray them at this time. Right? Now, this, you may not know that or you may know it. One of the problems of our community is most of us don't even know what we follow. Again, registration is now open for Qalam. So it's important to actually learn because you end up mixing up everything and creating some whole brand new type of your version of Islam. So it's important to kind of actually learn an accepted method for practicing the Quran and the Sunnah. But with that said, someone's praying sunnahs after Fajr, you can't say nothing to him. That's the perfect example. Why? Because this brother's following the opinion of our beloved Imam Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And who are you now to find fault in it? Yeah. So that's it. Salaamu alaikum to all her followers, inshallah ta'ala. That's like half the, you know, whatever. Okay. Yo, so what's up? Question? Huh? What is Hanafi? Registration is now open. A Hanafi is one of the four madhabs. Who is Herbert? Yeah. Khair, inshallah. I hope this was beneficial. Yes, Fatima.
I just had a comment.
Yeah, bismillah.
Okay, so earlier you were talking about pretty much mudahana, right? And,
yes.
And I was thinking there was this
Is it time for Isha yet?
That I heard. It was pretty much they were talking
Yes.
And people are no longer wanting to, like, engage in not arguments, but, like, just friendly.
So that's an important point, Fatima. That's amazing.
Because
yeah.
People are just like, okay, let's agree to disagree.
Yes.
But the thing is, what the speaker was saying is that because of our disagreements, we've, like, you know, helped each other out. We found, like, new scientific stuff. It's because we disagree that
so,
people are able.
So here's the deal. The football team gets better because they strengthen the weaknesses of each other. Once we just all agree to accept each other as it is, there's no more improvement. That's why Imam Sha'rani, he says, "An-nasu bil-khair idha tanaqashu." So long as people are, just what you're saying in that TED Talk, so long that people with adab, as we all said, keep correcting each other, there be khair. But once they istalahu, then there's no more khair. And the bystander effect partially is because of this, why are you in my business? Who are you to say what I'm doing is wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, many people want to speak up, but speaking up means that I agree, that I hold you to a standard that of right and wrong that applies to everyone. I think we spoke about this before. This is very important. If I'm going to stand up and I see you doing something wrong, right? That's because I hold you to the same standard I hold myself in the society too, and I'm like, stop doing what you're doing. How many times you see someone litter and they go, mind your own business? Or they do something like, who are you? And you're like, that's America, yeah, whatever, right? I can't, right? But and other people are like, no, that's wrong what you're doing. They're holding them to a general standard and saying, no, you have to come under the standard that we have as a society have set. Not this, you do as you want, I do what I want. When it gets that level, that's when bystander effect becomes rampant throughout the society because I don't want to get involved in other people's stuff. She might like getting beat up. I don't know.
Over-tolerance, like focusing so much on being tolerant of others, like your own identity or foundation, roots and values, like kind of fizzle.
They're gone.
To focus so much on not offending others.
Exactly. It's so important we get this lesson because we really, really, it's a problem. We really don't realize that we should be strong and about who we are and we can have a pluralistic society and still remain true to who we are and call out wrong as wrong. And that's what makes our society what it is, that we call out wrong when we see it. Yes, sister.
Like you said before, when I have a question about, like, what it takes to fix wrong, doing wrong, like, in order to fix a wrong, like, you have to do something wrong. Like, what do you do? Like, do that wrong just fix someone else's wrong, or...
That's a great question. It comes down to ahwalul baliyatain, like the lesser of two evils sometimes. It actually comes down. In Sharia, we have this concept of the lesser of two evils, so you have to look at the situation from that perspective many times. But we'd have to look at the specific situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to give a general thing for that, but we have to look at the specific. But generally speaking, if there's a greater evil that has to be stopped and there's no other way than this lesser evil, then fuqaha say we have to do that. The there's examples in our fiqh books, but it's whatever. Yeah.
So what if
that's what I was going to talk about. So it's a perfect question. The question is, what if the other person doesn't even know what they're doing is in any madhab or none? They're just doing stuff. Yeah, so in that case, I would encourage you correct wrongs and educate people. Like, if the person has no clue, they're just doing it.
What if even the haram officer, he was like, he follows his own madhab, but he's not educated in other madhab?
That's why they shouldn't be doing that, man.
So let's say I don't know that sitting a certain way is haram, and my madhab says it's haram. Should I tell him that? Or should I, because I don't know what if his madhab... Like,
okay, here's the deal. The thing that you're correcting, you have to have knowledge on that thing. That's the key. You have to have vast knowledge on that topic that you're correcting because you may be correcting something that's not incorrect.
What is knowledge? Is it like a deep online? Or is it like credibility?
Should I say it again? No, you got to sit. You got to study. You got to take out some time to study. Most of us, most of us have a very low level of Islamic education. Meaning if you just did your hours of education, your hours would be very, very low. Right, so I think it's just about taking out more time like this. This is one way. Like, we just went through so much right now. If you go over your notes later, listen to the lecture later, then there's a lot of knowledge from that. So we have to just increase our knowledge
And I would say primary focus is ourself right now, but if wrong happens in front of us. See, here's the deal. If you look at what we were saying, only the wrongs happening right now in front of us and publicly are the ones I have to correct. Half of them you're searching for. Like, let me go through their feed and find it. You know, let me find it, and then I want to speak up on something. So I think for majority of us, if we just cut back on looking for so many things, I think if we look at what the conditions, there won't be things that are necessary to correct. That many things that are necessary to correct. Wallahu alam. So don't listen. If you have a teacher that you're learning from, you don't have to listen to that. You don't listen to everyone that throws hadith at you. You have a teacher you trust. Follow that teacher. There's too many opinions out there now. You got to get a teacher, follow the teacher, and alhamdulillah, and find a teacher that has broad understanding, and ask them, what is the best thing for me to do in this situation? Without teachers, there's no learning deen. I'm sorry. I mean, when you wanted to learn ABCs, you needed a teacher. And if you want to learn the deen, you need a teacher as well. Someone you trust. That's the only way to learn. Ooh. Well, I mean, the question for those online and listening was, what if the one throwing hadith at you is a parent? That's a bit more difficult. And in our next halakha, we will... Now, I don't know. That's a hard one, sister. It depends on the issue. We got to see who's right on the issue. Make sure you got a correct understanding on the issue. I think we would have to look closely at what the issue is. Wallahu a'lam. Allah give us tawfiq.